Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boy, Lore Boys here.
More Lore Boys.
My name is James Miller, and I am joined with...
Just Peter O'Donohue. You may have thought it was a goof last week, where we said Ethan was dead. He is. That's the end of that.
Yeah. But he had a good life, so we can just move on.
I think
on.
So. He started a podcast and left it to his two favorite sons,
yeah,
Peter and Jamie.
I don't want to waste any more time talking about him, though, so let's
No,
move
exactly.
On.
Moment of silence.
Yeah. Yeah, so Peter, I guess you had some stuff you wanted to open up with.
I got a few things I got to get off my chest, guys.
Yeah?
So, as you guys know, you can contact us via Twitter at Loreboys or via Gmail at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
This is right.
And I wanted to name the fan mail section, or like the contact section. I made a joke on Twitter calling it the lore bag, which is a joke technically, but if that gets... the most traction, then so be it. The people have spoken. This is a democratic podcast.
Do we have a P.O. box?
We don't. I've never considered opening one.
Okay.
Never considered. It's crossed my mind, but like, what are we going to get? Like two things a month? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody sending us fucking bombs.
No, we should... Ethan's not here. Let's give out his personal address. Anything you want to send to Ethan's personal address... you can just whisper me and I'll send it to
corner
you.
Corner of this street and this street. right, so I wanted to name the section of the fan mail section from you guys. I was thinking, obviously, the joke is lore bag, but if the people speak, the people shall have spaken, and it'll be the lore bag. But I was thinking folklore, since we call our followers
the
lore folk, because they are the... dirt farming peasants on our our medieval fiefdom that is the Lore Boys podcast.
Okay. Yes, and we distribute little morsels of lore to them, but lord over most of the lore.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. That's why we are the obese turkey shank eating knights,
yes,
that live in the gross castle,
yes,
of the lore fiefdom.
Bring me my watered wine.
Yes. And that's okay. So that's the lore folk. So I was thinking folklore, since it's directly from the lore folk themselves.
True.
I think it's also kind of a pun. I don't really know. I'm not that smart.
Yeah, I'm down.
So please,
you want to call
this. You guys are really good at sending us feedback. This time, I'm actually requesting feedback.
Yes, please.
Please send in your preference between the lore bag or folklore, or your own suggestion. The winner, I guess. Well, we'll put your name in the credits.
Yeah.
The guy who named the guy or gal, yep, who named the lore bag.
Nice.
Yeah. So get at us. For real this time. That is a genuine thing. I want to know what you guys think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now I want to know what Jamie thinks about...
Blackwing Lair.
Is this a wow thing?
It's a wow thing.
I know, I'm kidding.
So I got... this weekend, I tried my darndest to come up with another storyline. I was looking through Slay the Spire, which I'm getting into recently. I was looking into some fighting games and stuff, which I'll circle back around to. But I stuck with what I know best is World of Warcraft.
Making KD and hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yep, sticking to what you know, I guess.
I think it's fine. Writer's block comes for us all.
Yeah.
Is Ethan back from Nicaragua?
I don't think so.
Next week? So I'm next week.
I don't know.
To be frank.
I think it comes Friday.
Absolutely no idea what I'm going to do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But Blackwing Lair, it's like a really, really cool raid content in Classic WoW. It just came out a few weeks ago as of time of recording. I've managed to clear it on both of my characters, on my priest and my hunter, and I just helped our second raid group get through it for the first time last night, and we did it with 30 people out of 40, and one AFK Yikes. Person who worked against us, because,
as bastard.
We'll explain why, if you go AFK in the last boss, it can fuck you over really hard. But we completely cleared it. It was a very great gamer moment.
Is it easier than Molten Core?
Much harder.
Okay.
Much harder by a long shot.
Is this the one from Leroy Jenkins?
No. Well, it's related. So Leroy Jenkins is from Upper Blackrock Spire, and that is Lord Nefarian, who is the final boss in Blackwing Spire, or Blackwing Lair. He lords over all of Blackrock Spire.
Okay.
So it's part of his kingdom, but it's not the same instance. You basically go a different direction when you go into the portal. You don't go straight into Upper Blackrock. You turn right, and you go into Blackwing.
Okay.
Lair. Yeah.
And you don't take the left at Albuquerque?
No. Same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Actually, in Upper Blackrock Spire, Nefarian makes an appearance, and you have to fight one of his generals. And then he kind of flees to his... this kitty's bumping the mic.
Goddamn cat. There we go. This is her traditional podcasting spot.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell she was doing.
Yeah, she's got to get comfy. I wasn't paying enough attention.
For the uninformed, my cat was on one end of my couch and then just decided to walk across Jamie's thighs and just rattle the shit out of the mic stand. So I don't know if you'd be able to hear that. Anyway, Jamie,
yeah.
Learn me some WoW.
So Blackwing Lair, it was released. It's the second raid content. You have Molten Core and Anixia, which kind of come out at the beginning. And then the second wave of raid content is Blackwing Lair.
Is Anixia in Classic now?
Yes, she is.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's just because you've never mentioned her.
Yeah, you fight her. She's like, she resets every 5 days instead of 7 days. So she's so casual. You can run it with like 15, 20 people.
Okay.
It's like, it's a raid and it's kind of hard, I guess, if you don't know what you're doing. But it's really just like a loot pinata. You just, you go... You get 15 people together, you beat it, you take the loot.
I know my buddy Tall Peter, who is still playing WoW, and had also a big swinging dick for WoW Classic, had the Anixia mount, and he's had it for, like, a decade almost. He got it when it was rare. I'm assuming in current WoW, you can just fucking buy it for 2 gold, because they just give away everything, though.
Well, there's no Anixia mount now in Classic WoW.
Right.
That might have been added in, like, the Burning Crusade or Wrath of the Lich King.
He had it when we lived together, like, 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's out there. There's so many.
I used to go into his room and watch him play WoW, because it's something I don't have experience with still.
Yeah.
And I would just watch him play when he was unemployed.
Yeah.
All he did was play WoW.
So I want to give you guys like a tour, a little bit of background, a knowledge on what Blackwing Lair is all about, and then a tour of the instance, each dungeon, each boss, kind of a little bit of who they are, what they look like, and how to beat them, because some of them get pretty intricate.
Please describe them to me, because I will draw them based solely on your descriptions, and I will not look up any reference images this time.
Perfect.
I promise you that, regardless of joke, I will use only your descriptions, and we will see what I can get. And my passing memory of the World of Warcraft art style.
Pressure's on. Okay.
Yeah. Dragons have underbites.
So I was wondering, should I tell this story in the way that a guild would normally approach this, where I retell the first boss, a description of him over and over again, and then maybe we finish up the first boss right before the podcast over, then we get one attempt on the second boss, and then we leave it on a cliffhanger and try again next week?
Or... Yeah, I was going to say, you should probably just scrap this. We'll just fucking end it now and post your entire note section into our Discord.
Okay. Good. Yeah, it took us a few weeks. Like, I only beat Blackwing Lair, like, we beat it the second week for the first group, and then the third week for the second group. With a lot of practice and stuff.
Today's March 2nd. What was the second week?
Date-wise. Yeah, to March 2nd, this is the third week. The end. This is the last day of the third week.
Okay.
So you guys could do the
first light on the fifth day, and you looked to the east.
Yeah.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, so Blackwing Lair is the home of Nefarian. He appears in his human guise as Lord Victor Nefarious, Lord of the Blackrock.
Lord Victor Nefarious.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep, that's him.
Sounds trustworthy.
Yep.
Is he trustworthy, Jamie?
He's not very trustworthy.
Oh, no.
He's kind of a mad scientist.
I can't believe I replied to his email saying he had 1 million gold for me in an escrow account on the Ivory Coast. and then he took all my money.
Yeah, dude. There's scammers out there. Some guy's like, I will give you 10,000 gold, which is like more than I've ever had ever in World of Warcraft, but you just have to pay for my server transfer. I need to get out of here. I can only take so much money with me, but just... pay for my server transfer. I'll send you the gold. Like, yeah, sure, that's going
to
go well.
Sorry, just I was laughing at that. Yeah, I'm also laughing at this because I have our Gmail open for when we do our lore bag. We have an email from the United Nations.
Nice. What do they have to say?
Good afternoon. Please, did you receive my previous message?
That sounds like a scam as well.
Speaking of Lord Nefarian sending us shitty Gmails.
So, Lord Nefarious, or Nefarian is his dragon name. He is the son of Deathwing. And Deathwing is the big scary guy that you see on the covers of all the Cataclysm expansions.
Yeah, he's the box art for Cataclysm. He's tremendously huge.
Yeah.
I know, because just the drag from his wings, like, blows down, like, rips down a dam when he flies over it.
That's why they call him a dragon. Yep.
Oh, now I get it.
He is the leader of the
Boys Canon.
He's the leader of the Black Dragon Flight. So there's different, like, colors of dragons, and based on their color, they have different aspects or
like D&D.
Yeah, exactly.
Chromatic dragons.
Yep, chromatic dragons. There's one is the second last boss of this instance, actually. But there was once many more dragon flights, but now there's only five main ones. There's some other ones. There's like Chromatic, there's like Twilight, there's stuff like that, but they're kind of subsections of these five major dragon flights.
Okay.
And five dragon flights are red, green, bronze, blue, and black. Red is life and power through, like, they have red scales, they breathe fire. Their fire can either destroy something or bring life to something.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're, like, good at empowering things around them, adding magic to things that wouldn't normally have magic.
Enchanters, basically.
Yeah, and, like, the life of...
The artisans, like the Spyro dragons?
Maybe, yeah.
A little hint?
Maybe.
Things to come?
A hint to one of our viewer mails at the end of the thing, yes. Spyro's not in Blackwing Lair.
Yeah, spoilers for Gmail.
In the last pause, Spyro the dragon! Yeah. The leader of the Red Dragonflight is Alexstrasza, if you've ever heard that name.
I have not. Is he a good guy, bad guy?
She's a good girl. Oh. And mostly good. When she's in a good mood, she's good, but she's gotten angry and, like, hurt people in the past.
Women, am I right? up high, gamers.
Oh my god. I didn't clap there. He clapped himself.
That was a Foley high five.
Yes.
The Warboys do not endorse the previous statement.
There's a green dragonflight. That was...
They spit acid?
They actually don't. They're kind of, like, aspected towards nature and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much all the dragons got their power because of things before them. The Titans gave them the power, basically.
Okay.
So, like, the Titan Aenar charged Ysera and her flight with the protection of the natural world in the Emerald Dream, a pristine realm of nature and magic. So the green have an affinity for animals and nature, and like the red, the green dragons are generally more approachable than the other flights, primarily coming into conflict only with those who attempt to corrupt or destroy nature.
Okay, they're the tree hugger dragons.
Yeah. They communicate with the druids in the game a lot, because the druids get their druidic powers on meditating on the Emerald Dream, which is Ysera's domain.
Okay.
So, like, if you were a druid and Ysera approached you, you would be, like, pretty top shit druid. Like,
okay, sick.
Yeah.
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 The green dragons chain themselves to trees to stop them from being cut down. That's
pretty
much. That's their power.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Next up's the bronze dragonflight. They have yellow bronze scales and can breathe superheated sand. yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. And the whole thing with sand is their whole power is time. So it's like time in an hourglass.
That makes more sense. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They strip the paint off cars.
Yeah. They're blizzards. Quick, we need a new storyline. Quick, so we can make a new timeline. All right, Nazdormu, this last timeline was split, so we're fixing it to the main timeline now, which allows you to kill same bosses over and over again, which allows you to do a bunch of silly stuff.
Now, I'm not a big fucking nerd. I know this because my buddy Oren is a huge nerd.
Yeah.
This is the DC Comics thing to do, because DC is currently apparently doing another timeline reset, because they just went two bananas, and they're doing another timeline reset where... They were like, Dr. Manhattan did it on Mars from The Watchmen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, that sounds right.
Or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, wow, I'm not super familiar with all of the storylines of every expansion. I played mostly I played Classic, although I usually check in at every expansion, but I know they've done this in the past.
Yeah, do you log into a current WoW server just to see what kind of trash there is, or are you just Classic only?
I usually play Classic just because, like, if I'm going to be spending my time on the game, I'd rather do it in a thing that can benefit my guild and, like, yeah, work on my characters and stuff.
But I want to make the least progress possible, so I log into Classic.
Yeah.
My time is of no value whatsoever.
I did log in and, like, played my old character through the Lich King raid at one point, like, back. That was before the Arthas episode, to get ready for
that.
Do you
have a priest on that, too?
I have a priest, I have a mage, I have a paladin, I have a warlock. Usually, every time a new expansion comes out, I'll start from level 1 and I'll level all the way to the top.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's incredibly easy to do nowadays. You could do it in, like, a month just playing a couple hours, like, after work kind of thing. And Classic is a lot longer.
I'd run Mage or Pally if I ever played.
Nice. Yeah. Mages in Classic are, like, broken strong. Like, can solo dungeons by themselves. Well, obviously by themselves. But, like, like, they have a lot of CC, so they can... Basically, they run into a big crowd of people. They use an ice block, which turns them into a giant ice. And then all the monsters come close to them. Then they get out of the ice block. They have a power called Blink, so they blink away. So now everything's all bunched up in one little pack moving towards them. They use Cone of Cold, which will freeze them all into place, or Frost Nova, rather. And then use
Blizzard. Cone of Cold is from both D&D, Dragon Age, and I guess they called it something else.
Yeah. And WoW too, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, WoW. It's just a different ability.
Yeah. It's a triangle of ice that does damage and crowd control.
Yep, yeah. That's exactly it. So they're just so good at crowd control and, like, bunching enemies up that they can do these crazy XP farms, these crazy loot farms, because they can just bring, like, 100 enemies stacked on top to be, like, a single model and then just kill them all with AoE.
Oh, and then
AoE.
Nuke them.
Yeah, exactly. Sweet. Yep, mages are very strong. Paladins, I'm not sure, because I play Horde, but...
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Next up is the blue dragonflight. So far we had the red. Their fire can give life or take it away. We had the green. They're aspected towards nature, druidic powers, the emerald dream, bronze.
They breathe potting soil.
Yes, potting soil. Yeah. Bronze shoots sand and control time. Usually...
Just pocket sand.
Usually they stay out of things. Like, you don't see a bronze dragon out in the wild very often. It's only if there's something wrong with the one true timeline, as they call it, then one will come out of nowhere.
Oh, they're time cops.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
And then the blue dragonflight are...
Water?
Actually, just arcane. They're, like, all things magic.
Oh. Yeah, like... Generally, I would have thought would be purple, because arcane spells are purple in WoW.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's blue. It's arcane. They can breathe frost as well. During the ordering,
that sounds like cheating.
Yeah. During the ordering,
that's two magic powers. Fuck you.
Yeah, they get magic and cold. Yeah. That's not fair. Well, the other ones get sand and time travel.
Oh yeah,
emerald nature and other nature.
Exactly. life, but just plants this time. Yeah. Sand and time travel, magic and snow. It's like, okay, I'm seeing a distinct advantage here.
Yep. Next up is the black dragonflight, and these dragons can breathe magma.
Cool.
And they're also Deathwing, which is Nefarian's father. Yeah. Nefarian being the last boss of BWL. Deathwing was charged with taking care of the earth. So Azeroth, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Titans, some other Titans or something else at one point corrupted him and started using him to destroy the world. So the one thing that he was tasked with protecting, he ended up kind of fucking up, but in Cataclysm they go through all of that.
Deathwing comes out in that one. So how much pressure is inside of a black dragon? Does the magma, like, shoot out, or does it just, like, dribble out through their teeth?
Is it like
it's pretty thick.
Is it like a volcano where they're just, like, they can only breathe after they've hit a certain pressure on the inside? The ambitious Neltharion, so Neltharion is Deathwing's real name.
Oh.
He was chosen by the old gods to be their ultimate tool of destruction, and their corruption eventually spread to the entire Dragonflight. So if you see a black dragon, they're bad. Anixia's a black dragon. Nefarian's a black dragon. Deathwing. Anixia and Nefarian are brother and sister, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deathwing.
Deathwing, daddy. Yeah. So the price So the Prince of the Black Dragonflight, Nefarian.
The Price of the Black Dragon.
I wrote that. Yeah. The Prince, he is the last boss of Blackwing Lair. And we'll talk more about him soon, but first we'll start from the beginning.
Okay.
So you have to go through, like, you have to go kill a guy, get a note, and then run Upper Blackrock Spire once all the way through and touch an orb, and now you're attuned for Blackwing Lair.
Okay, it's a relay race, basically?
Yeah, it's super easy attunement. Compared to Onyxia, where you have to fly, like, halfway around the world 6 times, find this one guy who's just pacing across a province and could be anywhere. Like, it's thing after thing after thing. It takes the better part of a weekend to get it done.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mentioned on our last episode, which was the interview. If you guys haven't checked out The Other Worlds, you probably should.
Yep.
He interviewed us last week. I had mentioned that I picked up Destiny 2, like that weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
After 2 months. I'm done now, because I unlocked the seasonal armor set. So it took me exactly a week, but I was doing some exotic quests in between. And I have the exact same thing. That reminds me a lot of just, like, I'm not willing to do the exotic quests that have more than, like, 5 steps that aren't all on the exact same planet. I would never hunt for a man who is wandering out in the forest just waiting to be spoken to attune for that.
You have to find him twice, too. I did it on both my characters so far, but yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. So first up, you go through the attunement, you get in, and there's no, like...
Is there a lore reason behind attunement?
It's just to
be... Is it gameplay or in-universe?
I'm actually not sure. The way that it works for this one is you find a note from a commander, and he tells you about this orb that can get you into the lair. And the Upper Blackrock Spire is the highest point before actually getting into the Blackwing Lair.
Okay.
And it is Nefarian's domain. You do meet Nefarian, and the second boss in this thing...
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows an orb, and he can get you into the club. Don't worry about it, man.
You know Nefarian's a bad dude, and you want to get to him, and you basically find a way to get through by killing a guy who had a note that was supposed to be delivered to another general, but you intercepted it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first up is Razor Gore the Untamed. You come in...
Razor Gore the Untamed.
Yes!
I'm sorry, I was making fun of Destiny 2 off air for how fucking stupid the writing is.
No, man,
some of the writing in WoW is also pretty dumb.
I like it.
Like, it does sound like somebody found, like, their 11-year-old kid's, like, graph paper sketchbook and stole the names out of it.
This raid is legitimately super well designed. Like, Molten Core is kind of uninteresting next to it. Like, in Molten Core, before you fight the first boss, you have to kill, like, a bunch of other bosses. Not even bosses, sorry. Like, other small things, monsters.
The Flame Wakers or whatever?
Yeah. Well, Flame Wakers are the bosses, but you just have to, like, kill, like, a Core Hound, and then a Lava Elemental and stuff that. But you get into this one, and you're at the first boss. You're just looking at the room.
Oh, okay, cool.
And in front of you, there's about, I want to say 30 eggs, just all lined up. And there's an orb at one side of the room on a platform, and it's a rectangular room. So the rectangular room, you have to go into the room and to the left side onto the platform and touch the orb to basically begin the fight.
Mm-hmm.
The way that this works is the orb of domination, one person touches it, and they take control of the boss.
Yeah, you mentioned this, where you use the boss to smash his own eggs, or her own eggs, right?
Yes, exactly, his own eggs. He is, like, one of the higher-up generals of Nefarian.
Yeah, they'll teach you to be a stay-at-home dad.
They task him with protecting all the eggs, and then you take his you mind control him and destroy all the eggs.
Bad organization.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you keep an eye on our entire brood, okay?
We'll leave them at the front door.
Make sure nobody... Yeah, exactly. You will leave you, the eggs, and this thing that can dominate your mind in the foyer. You make sure nobody fucks with this, okay? And he's like, yes, sir, dad.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he has a lot of...
do that, dad.
He has a lot of backup, too. He has all these orcs that are corrupted by the Black Dragonflight.
Are they grayskinned?
They are, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen these guys before.
Yeah, they're the Blackrock orcs.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah. So they'll Razor Gore wants to protect the eggs. The Blackrock orcs are there as well. You first come in, you kill 3 orcs really quickly. You take control of the boss. If you do not take control of the boss and you try and just kill him, he will kill everybody in the... Like, you cannot beat him before beating the eggs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He has, like, too much HP or just does too much damage?
Yeah, he has an ability that just kills everyone. Like, oh, dude, if you try and do it the wrong way.
That's good, okay.
Yeah.
Instant fail puzzle.
Yep. So then you do that. You take control of him. As soon as you start taking control of him and breaking the eggs, from each of the four corners, there are dragons that are on four legs, kind of on the ground. They look like worms almost with four legs, and they waddle around.
Do they have wings?
They do, but they're like small wings, and they don't actually fly.
I believe that would be a drake.
So it's a drake,
technically, yeah.
Razor Gore is also a drake. He looks like a bigger version of these guys.
Okay. Buff drake.
Yep. Yeah. There's two strategies to do
this. Not wheelchair drake. He's buff drake.
Yeah, they there's two
different imagine. He's like, you take control of this dragon in a wheelchair and just start like rampaging him through a bunch of eggs.
I don't like that guy. He's kind of a little, he does shady stuff, that Drake guy.
Which Drake?
Yes.
Human Drake?
Yeah, human Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like grooming women and stuff, but anyways.
Yeah. This isn't about Drake. This is about Drakes.
Yeah. But if you do want to beat Drake in real life, you have to kill all his eggs first.
Yeah, Drake does have a lot of eggs in his Toronto mansion.
In his
mansion.
Foyer.
Yeah. Toronto mansion.
Yeah. So this encounter is super unique. There's a couple ways to do it. You have to have one person who's the designated egg smasher.
Sorry, and if you go into Drake's house and touch the 15-year-old girl he has there, you can control his mind.
Oh my god. Yeah, so like I was trying to say, there's four corners. There's orcs and dragons coming out of all four corners at, like, an alarming pace. So you have to either split your raid into four equal parts to, defeat the adds as they come out.
So that 10-10-10?
10-10-10, but sort of like
that's 30, but you understand what I'm talking about.
You split them in a way, because you want to put the four in each corner. You have basically your melee attackers are in the corner. Then you have your ranged attackers in the middle. So if any one corner is getting out of a hand, you can point them in the right direction.
Oh, they can swivel, basically.
Okay. Yeah, and the healers are in the middle, too.
That's where you are.
That's where I would be. We didn't use a four-corner strat, though. We use a strat where everybody stays on the platform, and we let everyone come to us, and we just CC the fuck out of them, fear bomb them. Like, we're doing everything so they just don't attack us. Because if you destroy all the eggs, all the adds despawn. So we're, like, kiting them. We're just trying to keep them busy for as long as we possibly can.
Okay. Now, this occurred to me when I, again, this week I played Destiny, and using the Prometheus lens, which is an exotic laser gun, that I said was good at clearing out adds as well. Adds is like short for additional enemies, I'm assuming.
We covered it in one of the episodes, but I think so, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't even know what, I don't know what proc adds.
Proc we covered in the Corrupted Blood.
Like, I know what a proc is.
It's a special process.
Okay.
Yeah, we covered it in a while ago.
All right, well, I'm done. That's all my questions.
Special process, and it usually means if this happens, then this triggers, or 30% of the time, this will trigger, which gives you an extra ability. Or
yeah,
extra
proc
something.
Bleed, and then you take damage over time directly to your health.
Yeah, something like that.
Dots to your HP.
So yeah.
No full words.
After you get all the eggs down, the enemies, you either kill them, or they despawned. This is like a long time, too.
Do
this
they despawn, like, or do they just turn around and run?
Despawn. Okay. And this is like 5 minutes. This is a long-ass time. Most people are, like, out of mana. They're kind of hurting. Now, the boss, you're able to beat him. You have to get a tank onto him. He has something called Conflagration, which is just a crazy debuff that gets put onto you that you take a ton of damage. So everybody's hiding from the Conflagration around a corner. You're either behind a pillar or, like, line of sighting behind something.
That sounds like a curse word from the 1890s.
That gosh darn it, conflagration.
Conflagration!
Confounding conflagration.
Cannon for gold.
Yeah. Yeah, so then once you do that, it's you have to hide for every conflagration, then pop out, heal, do damage, hide for the conflagration, and just let your tanks deal with the conflagration.
Okay, cool.
But it's like imagine all four corners, right? You're killing stuff. Now get into position. So 40 people got to run all to this one little spot before he shoots out his flame breath and fucks you up.
Okay. But, yeah. You guys all have to huddle into the same elevator, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you've beaten that, that's awesome. That took us the better part of our first night of raiding of 4 hours. Just get that down because there's a lot of moving parts.
I did the fucking Leviathan raid once with Pony Plays. Check him out on Twitch.
Yeah.
It took us like 2.5 hours just to get to the last boss. And I am not mentally cut out for raids of any kind.
No, they're fun, though. They're fun. It's a challenge that a group of people come together to overcome.
Yeah.
And when you actually do overcome it, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And next up, not Destiny, is World of Warcraft, Veilstraw's the Corrupt. So he is...
He's the next boss?
Yeah, next boss. He's from the Red Dragonflight.
Oh, okay.
He's actually a good guy. But you actually meet him ahead of time. and he is hidden as an orc, then hidden as a human, and he helps you get a key.
They can shapeshift.
Yeah, all the dragons can shapeshift. There's a lot of Onyxia, the Alliance storyline for it is she's like a government official.
Oh, she would be.
Yeah. And then at one point you find out that she's an evil black dragon, and then she flies off to a lair full of magma and other dragons. And
so yeah.
That's her. But Veilstraw's, she is the second boss, and she's just laying down, and then it looks like she's sleeping in the next room. So you all go in, you can go up, you can step on her, and she won't wake up. You have to wait until someone talks to her. But she's a really cool mechanic. When you talk to her, the reason that she's there is she challenged Nefarian, but she lost.
Oh, okay.
Or he, sorry. And he is now corrupted. So he's Veilstraw's to corrupt.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
He tries to empower you to be able to defeat Nefarian, but it comes at a cost. So he has this thing called Burning Adrenaline, and at the beginning of the fight, everybody has unlimited mana, unlimited rage, unlimited energy, basically whatever your cost is for your abilities doesn't exist anymore.
He just gives you everybody steroids, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can use your biggest heals, your biggest spells, rogues do crazy amount of damage here because they just get behind the dragon and use this backstab ability over and over again, second. Yeah. And it's insane the amount of damage that goes out in this fight. It's a really fun fight because everybody just gets an unlimited clip on their gun.
Sweet.
Yeah. There's a couple different things that happen, though. There's one that she does pulsing fire from underneath, or him. I always want to call the red ones girls.
Is it the lipstick?
Yeah. All cats are girls and all dogs are boys.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. No, so then she does this pulsing fire from underneath, so everybody's taking fire damage consistently, all the time. So you have to be healing all the time. You have a ton of mana, so that's fine. She can give someone, basically infuses them with power, but they will die in 30 seconds and blow up, and can blow up the entire raid.
Oh, okay. Is this the same thing you were talking about?
It's like the Living Bomb.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, so
yeah, it's like the Living Bomb from
Burn. Same mechanic for two raids. Or similar, rather.
Similar. The thing is with this one is it takes the cooldowns off your abilities. So now you have unlimited mana, unlimited abilities, and your health is ticking down. You can heal through it and damage through it, but it's super dangerous because if you got hit really hard, the explosion is triggered not on a timer, but when you die.
Okay, cool.
And you're much more susceptible to dying.
It's like shooting coke into your eyes, basically. Yeah. You're just so much faster, your heart might explode.
That's it. There's strategies that would say maybe it's a good idea to shoot coke in your eyes just to get the last few hits in.
Right.
But most of the time, you just want to run away from the party and make sure nobody else dies.
Right, right, right. Yeah. The lore boys, again, do not endorse that previous statement.
No.
It's a good idea to shoot coke in your eyes.
She's known as the Guild Destroyer. It's really hard to beat her.
Oh, does she ruin friendships as well?
Yes, yeah, okay. Very much so. It takes, it's DPS is the biggest thing. You have to make sure you have enough damage to actually get through her, and you can only survive for, 3 minutes because she does so much consistent damage to the raid. Even though you have unlimited mana,
yeah,
you will die after a short amount of time.
But if you don't get the smack into your eyeballs, you still have cooldowns, correct?
Yeah, you still have cooldowns, but you just add unlimited costs. Like, the way that healing would work is usually split a healer into a bunch of groups, and they use their biggest group heal on all of the things. And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. My cat has opinions, apparently.
She's taking
What's going on there, Screamer? Yeah, she's taking a poop.
Yeah.
I wonder if her opinion picked up on the mics.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So next up is Broodlord Lashlayer.
Broodlord,
yeah. Yes.
He's keeping an eye on the eggs.
As a boss, he is not that hard, but to get up to him, there's something called the Suppression Room, also known as the Depression Room. It's incredibly hard. So
everybody walks through it, goes into debt, and comes out the other end completely unemployable.
Oh my god, man, it's so hard. So picture, it's a long room with these small traps that stick out. They look like little cylinders that stick out of the ground, and they pour gas out of them.
Okay.
Rogues can sneak ahead and disarm these traps, and they absolutely need to.
Okay, yeah.
Because if the raid...
I mean, it prevents the rest of your party from being gassed to death, assuming.
The gas will slow the time between your attacks and your movement speed by, 80% or something. Okay. Makes you move at, a snail's pace, and just can't do anything.
It's a dentist gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And nitrous oxide. Yeah. Everyone's giggling and getting killed by dragons and stuff.
Yeah. The YouTube videos all go very viral.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so that alone is hard enough because to get through there, you need to coordinate it, I think, two or three different rogues because they have to be. There's also patrols. I almost called them pats because you call them in game.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Of orcs and dragons, and then a bunch of tiny whelps, which are just like baby dragons.
Yeah,
and they're everywhere. Like
this reminds me of Leroy Jenkins because they're fighting a bunch of tiny dragons when they get smoked.
Whelps, yeah, that's in Upper Blackrock Spire. You can run into a place, and if you don't step on the eggs, then they don't come out. But this guy ran in and stepped on all the eggs and spawned a million little tiny dragons. But it's like that. There's like hundreds and hundreds of them, and their respawn timer is like so short. So basically, you have to have a rogue moving ahead, disarming traps, and you need to be killing things and consistently moving, because if you stall in one place, it'll respawn right on top of you.
Oh, shit, okay.
So you have 40 people who have to be moving, avoiding traps, disarming traps, killing things. You actually don't even want to kill the small whelps. You want to keep them alive until you make enough progress and then kill them all at once, just so they don't respawn.
Interesting.
Because
okay.
as soon as they die, they'll respawn sooner.
Yeah.
So you keep them alive.
That's a strategy in Devil Daggers as well, which is an indie game I was playing for a while.
Yeah.
Is to farm crystals, basically, to get your upgrades faster.
Yeah.
You don't kill the spawn pods.
Yeah.
So you fight a hell of a lot more enemies, but end up stronger faster.
Yeah, that's kind of like that. And if someone dies on this room, it's very hard to even be able to resurrect them because you stay in combat all the time. If you need to do a bathroom break, everyone does it before this room because nobody can be AFK. Nobody can be half attention. Like, you have to...
It's like a sweatshop.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it takes about 15 minutes to get through, and then you're at Broodlord Lashlayer, the boss. So you have this incredibly coordinated, unforgiving room that you have to, like, trudge through. And if you fail the boss fight, you have to go through it again. This is why it's called the Depression Room.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds great.
If it easily can add like an hour to your raid time if you wipe two times, you know?
So it's
like, so
that's brutal.
Yeah.
But I understand how overcoming this is fun. Like, I get WoW Classic.
Yeah.
I am a Souls boy, right? I have played the vast majority, like all the Souls games for one, and the vast majority of Souls likes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I understand what it's like to, you know, in your off time, punish yourself for being lazy.
Well, I mean, like, when it works and everybody's working together, it feels great. Like, we got through it in one shot.
You're probably just mainlining adrenaline. It's got to feel awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like tucking in. We're like, all right, kill all the whelps, and like your heart's pumping, and like this is raiding, you know? Like, oh, there's 40 of us, and we're so in sync right now.
Now this is pod racing.
Yeah, exactly. So then you finally get to Broodlord Lashlayer. You have to run all the range into a little cubby so they can't see him because he has a thing called Blast Wave that shoots like an AoE attack. He has something called Mortal Strike, which can crit for 8,000 damage on a warrior tank, let's say.
Okay. I not knowing the HP values. Wow. Shrugs. Yeah. A lot.
I was about to tell you. That's about how much they would have.
Okay.
And like, they have to take a flask of a Titans, which is like a very, very costly consumable that would increase their health for 2 hours to be able to survive this kind
cool.
of thing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
I know you can get like 12 million health now in standard WoW.
Yeah, no, 6 to 8,000 is pretty average.
Cool. Cool.
And then you can get up to like 10,000 with some crazy buffs and stuff like that. But it's really hard because I need to, as a healer, keep my tank at full all the time. You're trained as a healer to only heal when you need to.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a small amount missing, like, just wait for him to take a little more damage so you're using your mana more efficiently.
Heal spells do a percentage or a fixed amount?
Like a fixed, well, not exact amount, but more a fixed amount than a percentage. Like, it could
like
be...
Do you heal for 1,200?
2,000 to 3,000 this one could hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not like heal ally 30% of their HP.
No.
It's the classic RPG damage range sort of
yes.
thing.
Yes, okay. And then it's affected by your healing spell power and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah,
so,
okay, yeah, yeah.
So you build usually to have
you
more
can
healing.
Juice it, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is why, like, it's really hard because it goes against everything you've done up to this point as a healer where you're using your mana efficiently. You want to overheal on this boss, which overhealing is usually a waste of mana, but you got to keep your tank full the whole time.
Yeah, because he can get one shot, basically.
Exactly. Okay. If he's not at full, then he will die when he gets Mortal Strike.
Oh, okay. Okay, interesting.
So
is there a damage reduction from it if you're at full HP?
No, it just means you have enough damage to, you have enough health to survive one hit.
You just need to put enough blood back into his body
so
that when it all gets knocked out again, he's okay.
He needs to be, like, fully healthy or else he's not going to make it through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Three square meals. You got to make sure he's had his breakfast.
Yeah.
So that's what you do basically as a priest, eh?
Yep.
You wake up early, cook everybody their breakfast, and make sure they're all ready for the day.
Definitely.
The day's raid.
Yep. I was grilling up some squid for my rogue friend the other day. Nice. And stuff like that. Yeah.
Don't leave without your slice of cantaloupe. Yes, UNICEF. I want you to eat it all the way down to the rind. Don't waste any of the melon flesh.
So this boss is not that hard, to be honest. Like, once you actually get to him, it's not so bad. The hardest part is getting to him and being...
The depression room is worse than the boss.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And it really hurts your positioning, too, because there's a place everyone needs to be. And if one of those traps is left up and people can't move to get into their position, it's if you get into your position and everyone's doing their job, it's easy going, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's just like real life, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if everybody's doing things properly, everything else is easier.
Yep. So Razorgore, he drops bracers, among other things.
Bracers being gloves without fingers, basically.
Yeah.
It's a wrist guard.
They're just wrist guards, yeah, because gloves are coming up. But Veilstra's, the life bind, or the corrupt, the one that does the sleeping thing, gives you all the power, gives you belts, and boots come from Broodlord.
And okay.
Up next, we have the three dragons, which were called loot pinatas in most of the videos leading up to them coming out. But we found out that one of them is actually much harder than even the last boss for a lot of
people. Oh, really?
Yeah. And his name's Firemaw.
Okay.
I haven't really described what they look like, right? The first one, Veilstra, or Veilstra, was...
Well, you gave us their aspect, their color.
Yeah. But they're not all just, like, dragon.
Yeah, well, one of them's a drake. He's got tiny little baby wings. You described Drake. And a wheelchair.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next up is a dragon, a red sleeping dragon on the ground, so it looks like a classic dragon.
Yeah.
Broodlord Lashlayer, he's bipedal. He kind of has dragon features in his face, and he does have a tail. He has one of those, like...
He's a scaly.
Yeah. He has one of those weapons that is, like, a stick, and then on both ends are a blade.
Oh, a glaive.
A glaive, yeah. So he has a glaive and he kind of spins it. There's like these ads that remind me of Star Wars Kid. Have you seen that YouTube video?
Yeah, of course. Like... Fat then... kid with the broomstick?
Yeah. There's like this one room where there's three of them at the end of the room and they all just come at you like slowly spinning their swords.
They're like American Gladiator guys with the big Q-tip things.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. I laugh every time, call them fucking nerds. As I eat my next like fucking pizza pocket and play WoW.
Yeah.
What are like these add-ons? Nerds. They're nerd. Yeah. So the next three bosses are Firemaw, Ebonrock, and Flamegore. These are like classic dragons that you would picture. Instead of sleeping,
four legs, two wings. Thick rim glasses.
Yes.
That's a classic dragon for me.
And they're flying too. Like they're using their wings and they're only like a foot off the ground, but they're always flying.
Okay.
And they're big dragons.
Yeah. It's just like germaphobes. They don't want to touch the ground.
Yeah, I guess so. Jesus. Nefarian does a lot of nasty stuff in his labs, so they don't want to touch that. Nefarian, who's the last boss, is known for like taking dragons apart and then sewing them together to make these like giant monstrosities.
You had mentioned this.
Yeah.
A week or two ago,
sure, yeah.
Which sounds fucking rad. He's basically making meat golems out of dragons.
He like injects dragon, like ultra powerful dragons' blood into different animals to see what'll happen.
Is it a good thing that happens?
We'll find out.
Okay,
we'll find out about one of them. But like, there's a room leading up to the second last boss where there's just dragon corpses like littered about in these like what look like you know those like garbage things that have like these teeth. They're interlocking gears, and you can throw metal into
the
it.
Garbage shredding things.
Yeah, and it'll just like grind it down.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of dragon corpses just like on top of those, like surrounding all the rooms.
Holy shit!
And a pool of dragon blood that like is a moat around the room, which I like to go and emote lay down in because my whole face goes underneath it. Yeah, Nefarian's pretty much a monster. There's a reason why a lot of people don't like him, why the red dragons would even like interfere in his goings on, because he's a bad, bad dude.
Yeah, he's a crazy science dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in favor of whatever the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, it's very nefarious.
Exactly. Oh, that's why. he had me. That was just like the dragon flesh golems. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Mode of dragon blood.
So
it's a bit not just tacky.
Yeah,
it's tacky. Yeah, but also cruel and unusual.
It is. Yeah. Although, like, the player going up to defeat him is kind of cruel. The things you do is, like, take control of a dragon and destroy its own eggs with its own hands. Like, that's pretty brutal, too.
Yeah, but aren't these... I guess it's all a matter of perspective, but are they not evil?
They are.
Yeah,
they are
there evil. We go.
They are evil. There seems like better ways to do it than to use its own hands to destroy its brood. But...
Yeah, the psychological warfare seems like you're just doing it on purpose, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you're all fucking wizards, just kill them.
Yeah, that's the orb of domination on one side is you take control, and on the other side there's the orb of submission where they tie you up into a leather gimp suit and hit you with their dragon tails.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's that's Lore Boy's canon.
The big studded letter A on it?
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
So we have... Boy's...
I like the infliction here with this. That's Lore Boy's canon.
So we have Firemaw, Ebonrock, and Flamegore. They're full-fledged flying black dragons. They look like a dragon out of Game of Thrones, out of any dragon that you've seen, usually in modern fantasy.
Yeah, think of any dragon you've ever met and look like that.
Yeah, exactly. Firemaw is
except for Drake.
Probably the hardest one. You have to do this crazy line of sight stuff. He can kill you in a single shot. He is the first dragon that you encounter that has the ability called Shadow Flame, which only the strongest of strongest black dragonflights can use. And to be able to survive a shot of Shadow Flame, you need to kill Onyxia enough times and make a cloak out of her scales. So,
sweet.
So you eventually go and challenge Nefarian, who also has Dragon's
Shadow Flame.
Shadow Flame. And you approach her, 40 people wearing his sister's skin, to go fight him.
And you're saying Nefarian's the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How dare you use the corpses of dragons as your science project, he says, wearing the corpse. 40 people say wearing the corpse of a dragon.
Of his sister, no less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you need Onyxia's scales. This is something that the Guild Bank starts collecting, like, right from when Classic came out. So whenever Blackwing Lair came out, we had enough scales to make enough cloaks that we could have two raid groups go in.
Oh, okay.
The stuff that we saved
That's
up.
That's what, 80?
Yeah. We had about 80 people come in, come out. We had someone rage quit in the middle of the raid last night. Like, turnover is hard. You got to always be recruiting. As an officer, I'm not having as much fun anymore sometimes.
Like, it's like you're managing a call center.
It is.
You always have to be overstaffed in your guilds because, you know.
Turnover is too high.
Yeah.
Pay's not good enough, you know.
Yeah, well, at least when you actually have a shitty job like we all used to. At least it wasn't 40 employees and two of them randomly get paid.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you roll
for your salary.
Yeah. Roll on your ability to eat this week. And that is going to my crits don't lie, 420. All right, big grats.
Fuck.
Yeah, so Firemaw, he has this thing that basically if he can see you, you'll start taking these debuff stacks. So all of the melee and ranged have to duck out from line of sight as soon as you get 4 to 5 of these stacks.
Okay.
The healing this is a fucking mess because everyone's taking a ton of damage. You also have to line of sight the boss as a healer, so you shouldn't be able to see your tank, but not the boss. And from two different angles of a door frame, basically, you kind of run him into a door frame. Some people stay on one side of the door, like on the opposite side, and then some people stay on the same side of the door, but on the opposite side of the door, kind of like in a cubby behind it.
Okay.
And the line of sight is just a nightmare. If the tank messes up and moves like 2 steps to the right, everyone could die. If the healers step out too far, everyone can die. If the range DPS are not tucking in to let their stacks fall off, everyone can die. This one, to me, it's the hardest boss of Blackwing Lair.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. After that, you have 2 fights with the other similar dragons that look the same. These are called the loot pinatas. The first one definitely is not a loot pinata. The next two really much more feel like it.
Okay.
You have Ebonrock.
Loot pinata presumably just because they have pretty decent rolls on their drops and aren't that hard to kill.
Exactly. Like, if you can get past the depression room, you should be fine for these next three fights, was the idea. But it was not the case. Like, Firemaw was a really tough one. We stalled a lot on Firemaw.
Okay.
Ebonrock is after Mahi looks really similar. Big dragon flying around, a foot off the ground. His special ability is Shadow of Ebonrock. When a player is struck with this, they heal the drake tremendously. So,
like a vampiric thing?
Yeah, it's like he hits you with it, and then every time he damages you, he'll heal himself for that much.
Oh, shit.
So you have three tanks, and anytime they get the Shadow of Ebonrock debuff, yeah, the other tank will taunt to take it off of that tank.
Okay.
So it's 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. So the tanks require a lot of coordination just to make sure the boss is attacking the right thing. And then the DPS has to be careful not to do too much damage on the handoffs because they might trigger the dragon to turn around and then fuck the whole raid kind of
okay
thing.
Yeah.
You tank them in a corner. All the tanks are in the corner just trading aggro.
Okay, so this is a boss rush. You don't have to fight all three at the same time. You fight them in a row.
Okay. One after another. There's some trash in between, or what's just the monsters that are not bosses.
A trash mob.
Trash mobs are very hard in Blackwing Lair. Some of them we wiped on trash more than the bosses.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's like these goblin technicians that throw bombs from like super far, and there's like 12 of them, so they can all just throw bombs at you. Then there's all of the adds have like elemental weaknesses that change every week at random. So that's part of the thing, is like everybody, if I'm a hunter, I use my arcane shot then my serpent sting to check for arcane and nature damage on a boss. The mage will do their arcane, frost, and fire, and basically as soon as you identify the weakness and the strength, you call it out.
Okay.
So then that way we know how to focus and take them down.
Interesting.
It requires a lot of communication.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, there's a bunch of goblins throwing bombs at you. So
all the while,
yeah,
goblins causing problems.
Yeah.
Alex Jones was right. Goblins, fat pot-bellied goblins,
the goblinists.
Almost an anagram.
Yeah. Next up is Flamegore after Ebonrock. They're like standing right next to each other. You could accidentally pull both of them if you're not careful.
Oh,
but we pulled them away. It's never happened. We pulled both. This one's a hunter fight. As much as it's important for the tanks to hold aggro, DPS to do their thing, and the heals to keep everyone up, it enrages. So an ability that you got in Molten Core that we talked about one of the last times is called Tranquilizing Shot, and you get it off the first boss to be able to kill the second boss.
Okay.
It's the basically whenever the Core Hound would get angry, you would shoot it with Trank Shot to make it smaller again, to make it do less damage.
Okay. All right, yeah.
This boss has the same mechanic, and is part of the reason why I got roped into going to a raid I didn't want to last night, because there weren't enough hunters, and I had a hunter with Trank Shot, and they're like, we don't have enough Trank Shots to clear this, please, we need you. And I went, and it was fine, but...
Yeah. So dedicated.
Yeah, yeah.
What else were you going to do?
I wanted to play Slay the Spire and watch live PD on my TV. Just watch people get arrested. Dude, I've been watching so much live PD. I'm like fucking eating popcorn and calling the shots. Like, I know what's coming next. Someone's like, am I being arrested? I'm like, no, you're being detained, dude. Like, is this your first rodeo?
Yeah, my trash TV YouTube clip binge is always fucking kitchen nightmares.
Okay.
Oh, I love Gordon Ramsay, man. Nice. I watch so much of it.
Yeah, I love that.
Live PD. Yes.
Dude, I saw this one. They knock on a door. It looks like a destitute house. And there's this guy, and he's really amped up. And he just has a whole ass ham in his hand. And he's eating it like an apple.
Like the classic, like, semicircular, like, rump.
Yeah, like the rind on the outside. He's just eating it like an apple. And he's like, what are you guys doing here? You're interrupting my dinner. I'm just trying to eat here. And then he goes in, and there's like another guy. He's like, oh, careful, don't step there. That's my pentagram. There's like a pentagram on the ground. And throughout the whole segment,
okay.
The whole segment, he eats the entire rump of ham.
This is some fucking Florida shit right here.
It is from Florida.
Yeah, no shit. It wasn't just the fucking handheld ham wad that gave it away. The pentagram, too. It was just like, all right. Yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's like an abandoned home that he's just squatting in, because everything's so destitute. And he keeps saying, like, yeah, I'm the homeowner. Yeah, it's my uncle's dad who owns the house.
Isn't
he's not here.
Grandfather?
He gave it to me. And yeah, he's like chomping this ham, just telling this crazy story. Live PD, Florida ham, you'll get it.
Sir, you got a license for that ham?
The cops the whole time were like, you enjoying that ham?
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that. Where it's just, well, I guess Live PD is fly on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, you can't really get mad or afraid. The cops are probably so confused. They're just like, Nothing at the academy could have ever prepared me for this.
No. They went on their way afterwards.
Why were they there?
His roommate said that he was threatening to kill him and stuff like that. And
seems
the roommate,
like the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah, the roommate ended up just leaving. But the roommate looked all strung out, too.
Was he eating ham?
No. He looked like he was eating drugs. But...
Okay. Turkey leg?
Yeah.
Kraft singles?
Yeah, that's that. He kept leaning back on that. He's like, no, why would I be on drugs? I'm eating right now. Like,
oh, yeah, never mind. Excuse me.
Eating a whole ham.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Never mind, sir. Yeah. Forgive me for asking.
So, at Flame Gore, every 10 to 15 seconds enrages, and you have to hit him. He has a fire nova,
too. You gotta slap the ham out of his hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I had to leave my fun ham show to go raid with
What are you
the
watching
boys.
On, YouTube?
Yeah, just okay, anywhere yeah. they'll yeah. show
I didn't know
me.
If you had an antenna or something. I know you don't have real TV, but no. Like, if you get a digital antenna for your flat screen, you can get like 5-6 channels.
Yeah, they're trying to sell it to me, but
fuck
I'm
that.
Not buying it. Next up is the second last boss. His name's Chromagus. He looks like a Quarrhound. He has like the two heads. He has kind of like the big four-legged feet on the ground.
The pit bull feet.
Yeah, with like the spiked collars around the neck. But instead of looking red and like lined with magma and earth, he looks purple. And he is actually theorized to be a Quarrhound because in Upper Blackrock Spire, which is Nefarian's domain, there's a monster called the Beast, which is a Quarrhound.
Okay.
And there's a Quarrhound there where it really shouldn't be there. And it's kind of in this room off to the side. So we theorize that he tests on these Quarrhounds and made Chromagus this way by injecting dragon blood into a Quarrhound until it turned into this. And this dragon has, or this Quarrhound slash dragon, it is a dragonkin. Has the power of every single major flight. So
So I was going to ask if he changes color and or has multiple powers because he's what would you say?
Chromagus.
Yeah, it was chromatic.
Yeah, I read, I thought it was the same thing. It was Chromatus. I read a book about Nefarian making Chromatus where he actually took the heads of five dragons and it's a five-headed dragon that is so powerful that even like the elite, the leaders of the Dragonflight, like Alexstrasza, Azurgross, and all those, can't beat it. And it was the leader of the blue Dragonflight was killed and his blood was injected into this five-headed monster and it like slowly half came to life. And it was the first one that came to life. There's all these, like, disposed five-headed dragons next to it that didn't quite make it and stuff. Nefarian's, like, a really fucked up dude.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, it is. And there's, like, in the book that I read, there's this, like, stories of all the dragon flights flying at this five-headed dragon, but, like, a five-headed dragon just being able to stave off every single attack and use, like, time, use nature.
Well, you can look in five directions at once.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too bad they don't have a sixth dragon flight to get him in the blind spot, presumably directly above him.
Yeah, so Chromagus is not that guy, but he's very similar to that.
Okay.
I thought it was the same guy until I looked up the lore. So despite his canine appearance, he is a dragonkin. He was speculated to be made in Upper Blackrock Spire. Like
dragon dogs, it's not the first time I've heard about this. There is something in Pokemon Sun and Moon called Zygarde 10%, which is a dragon ground type that also appears as a wolf. So there might be some kind of folklore there from somewhere that it has fed into both these things.
Yeah.
That is pure speculation. Like, that is not even speculative enough to be lore boys canon. That it's not...
Are dragons dogs? Or are dogs
dragons dogs?
We'll never know.
Well, no.
So every week, Chromagus, even though he has all the powers of the Dragonflights, he will have two major powers that happen at random and are locked. As soon as you enter the instance... These are the two he's going to have this week. He'll have a different two next week.
Okay.
So he has Incinerate, which is the red one. Deals a bunch of fire damage around 3,000 to 4,000. That's enough to kill a mage and enough to get like halfway through a tank's health.
Does he have like two offensive ones and then three buffs?
He has two at random.
Does he have Fire Breath and fucking Magma Breath and then like the blue... The arcane is a certain kind of defensive buff?
I'll say them all. Yeah, so he has Corrosive Acid, which is a green, and it leaves a damage over time on the target and reduces armor for the duration, so it's just like this ticking damage that happens onto you and makes your armor.
Toxin proc, basically.
Yep. Next up is Frostburn. It deals low frost damage and heavily reduced attack speed for a few seconds.
Makes sense.
So, like, all of these you want to be dodging, like, getting out of the way. They have Ignite Flesh, which is the black one, and it does low fire damage for a minute. So this thing is really annoying. We had it this week. It just stays on you for so long, and it makes your health tick down.
Yeah.
So if you get it, it's just automatically a huge mana tax on the healer.
Yeah, well, because you have to constantly heal one guy for a minute straight, or multiple people.
Yeah, and it's usually multiple people. Yeah. So it's like you already have the tank to worry about. So anyone who's someone in our raid was like, if you get hit by Ignite Flesh, I'm not healing you. Just don't get hit by it. And which, yeah, it was a little over the top, but the message is strong because you shouldn't be getting hit by that.
Well, yeah. Ideally, the advice you can give to most hashtag pro gamers is don't get hit.
Yeah. Let me tell everyone, too. It's like 5 seconds till Ignite Flesh, everybody get behind the wall. But the problem with that is the next one that we also had, we had Time Lapse, which is a bronze dragon thing, and it stays on you for like 10 minutes straight. And at random, at any moment, it can stun you for 6 seconds.
So, oh, yeah, this is the time travel one.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So it's on you for 10 minutes. So it's, if you get it hit by the breath, it's on you for the whole fight. And you can just get stunned. So if someone says, everybody get behind the wall, Ignite Flesh is coming, then that thing procs. So now we had that this week where you had the time freezing one and then the burn all your friends one. So people get time frozen out in the open and then lit on fire.
That's a nightmare scenario.
Right? Yeah, it was probably the worst we could have got. But
you guys still won, though. You still cleared the raid?
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a way. We did it very shorthandedly, too.
Yeah. You could always bounce back. Yeah, because you were 30 people.
30 instead of 40, yeah. Shit. So we did pretty well.
That's some big dick guild right there. That's some guild energy.
Yeah, exactly. There is a way to get rid of the bronze dragonflight, so the time frozen one. There's something called hourglass sand that just drops off of random stuff in Blackwing Lair up to this point. If you're a good guild, you've given this all to your guild leader, and he will give it out to the people who need it most for the fight.
Okay.
If you're a bad guild, everybody kind of holds on to it. Then some people run out and not the right people have it. You want to give it to your healers, your hunters, and your tanks, because you're... Chromagus also enrages, so you need your hunter to do that tranquilizing shot to make sure he's not hitting too hard.
I imagine it as like people handing out like tiny Red Bull can sized hourglasses, and you just like pop the top off, drink all the sand. So much better.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty much like that. So you get two of those per week. It could be any of them, the red, green, blue, black, or bronze one. In addition to this, Chromagus will constantly affect with 5 different debuffs, and all 5 of these happen every week. So you get 2 at random of his attack abilities, and then 5 that could happen at any moment of the debuffs. There's Brute Affliction red, green, blue, black, or bronze. So it's Brute Affliction, then the color.
Okay.
The red one does 50 fire damage every 3 seconds and heals Chromagus if you die. The green one is a poison that healing is reduced. The blue one saps your mana.
Ooh, that one sounds fucking brutal.
Yeah, it is bad.
Heal reduction. I can't remember what game I was playing where there was a heal reduction debuff. It's serious biz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the blue one is... it's the magic one, so it slows movement, it reduces casting speed, and your mana and health are drained. Then there's a curse that does fire damage increased by 100%. There's the bronze one that's a 4-second stun. Oh, this is the actual elite. Sorry, I had the other one wrong. The other one is just a stun that can happen. This one is the 10 minutes that stun you at random.
Okay, this is where you need to drink your Red Bull sand.
Yeah, your hourglass sand and stuff. So basically, you put all of the people who can dispel, take off curses and diseases, because they're all different types of debuffs.
Is that priests or warlocks that dispel curses?
Curses are actually mages, which was a point of contention the last time we talked about this. It should be a warlock.
Not that I wouldn't. I mean, I don't fucking
diseases
know.
Diseases are shamans.
That makes sense.
And also priests. Yeah. Then
shamans just whip like a... fucking mortar and pestle full of ground up leaves and dirt. Yeah. Just like, catch, eat this.
Or they leave a totem on the ground that just magically heals them if you're close to it.
Don't worry, it's full of sand and manure. I promise it's good for you. It's a poultice. Rub it on your burns.
So
you sure?
This is like definitely a dispel fight.
Big 3-fingered cowman just waving at him. I guarantee it.
Yeah, man. This one's a dispel fight. Like, damage, cool. Healing, cool. Those are necessary, but if you're not dispelling, you're gonna lose this
keep
one.
The 3 C's, man. Keep curses clean.
Yep. Oh, and also
the 3 K's. Keep curses clean.
Did I mention if you get four of these debuffs at the same time, you turn into a dragon and kill your own party.
That's rad. Yeah. I thought you'd just blow up or something.
No.
That's way cooler.
No, you turn into a dragon, and, like, even after everyone dies, the dragon stays alive for, like, 5 minutes. So you have to wait for your friend to not be a dragon anymore to enter the room again. But it's like, so some one person or a raid will be like, this person's at three, this person's at three. As soon as someone gets to three, we call it out to make sure they never get to four.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, we try and dispel as often as possible, but then we target the problem people kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's Cro-Magus, and once you beat him, you're in Nefarian's lair. You walk through a door frame, and it's a throne room with the left side of the room has no more walls. And it's like you can see basically like a sunsetting horizon, and you're at the top of the world, basically, like the highest you've ever been in World of Warcraft at this point. There's no flying mounts or anything.
Okay, yeah.
You're like above Blackrock Spire. You can look down. It's actually like pretty intense. And he's just sitting there on his throne. And you can, until you talk to him, he won't do anything. So we were like messing around and going and like squatting on his lap a bunch of times before starting the fight. Yeah.
What's he look like? Is he like a dragon man?
He's a human.
Oh.
At this point, he has long black hair. He has like a circlet of fire as his crown. He has a scepter with a purple crystal in his one hand, and he's wearing black robes.
Okay, cool.
And at this point, you talk to him.
Is he normal size?
Normal size. Yeah, he's a lot of your characters will be bigger than him.
Okay.
Like the cow people and stuff will be bigger than him.
The Tauren.
Yeah. So this is like when you first get there, it's kind of really breathtaking, even though it's 2007 graphics. You have like the huge landscape to the left of you. This guy, this asshole that you've been trying to get to for probably a couple of weeks, just sitting in his throne.
Jagged, pixelated silhouettes as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. And from his perspective, 40 people just kind of bumble into his room, like look over the cliff a bunch of times,
go sit in his lap.
Sit in his lap. They're all wearing his sister on their backs.
Maybe you guys deserve to die, frankly.
Yeah.
I think you're the bad guys.
And he has some pretty crazy mechanics. The first step for this fight is he kind of disappears. He six his men on you. So there's two doorways, and there's probably about 3-4 minutes of just many, many dragons and orcs coming through.
Okay.
So you split up into two groups, and your whole job is just to make sure we don't get overwhelmed. And if you're fast enough, you have a chance to eat and drink before the next stage of the fight.
Okay.
So you want to really kill everything fast so that way you can get your mana back before the next stage. Yeah.
So you can get some power aid.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Exactly. Get the sand out your throat from the last fight. Yeah.
Wash it down.
Yeah. So I've kind of explained like how much of an asshole he is. We all want to fight him at this point.
Yeah, he's doing his dragon meat experiments and injecting blood into things.
Yeah.
Injecting blood into things that ain't got no business having no dragon blood in them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you beat all his cronies, and then he turns into a dragon.
Cool.
And he hits the entire raid, no matter where you are, if you're line of sighting, no matter where you are, you get hit with Shadow Flame. So this is why you have his sister's cloaks on. And when the game first came out, no one really knew that this cloak was the way to avoid this.
Oh.
So everybody would just die at this phase, and they wouldn't know why. So you had to make the cloak, figure out that, like, one person, if they wore the cloak, they would have survived. Then they would have figured it out that, oh, this person survived.
Oh,
they're the only
God,
one with this cloak.
Why me?
Yeah, exactly. yeah, so he hits you all this, then he flies off into the distance out that broken wall. You kind of have a second to regain your thoughts, get into position, you drink up, heal up, and you start fighting him. He's a lot like Onyxia. He does, like, a fear where everybody kind of, like, has to run away.
Yeah, you lose control of your character, and you, like, run in the opposite direction from the boss, right? You can't
exactly.
really control it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I've experienced that in other games.
Yeah. Yeah. He hits really hard, so you got to be healing the tank all the time. And his most interesting mechanic is every 30 seconds or so, he does something that's called a class call. So every individual class, being a hunter, a shaman, a priest, a warrior, a paladin,
rogue,
missed one at least, mage,
warlock, yeah,
I think that's all of them, and druid.
Geek squad.
Yeah, I got them all. So he does one of these at random. And
chartered accountant.
Yeah. And a lot of them are really hard to deal with, so I'll explain what some of them are. Druid's probably the easiest one to deal with. Whenever you say, like, class call's coming up, and you get the druid one, they're just stuck in their cat form for 30 seconds. Not a big deal. That's where they do their most damage
anyways.
Yeah, they
turn into a panther, right?
Yeah, that's if you have a druid doing damage, that's where it's doing its most damage anyways. It sucks for if you have a druid tank or a druid healer, because they get turned from a bear into a cat, which now they're not tanking, or they get turned from just their normal cow cells or whatever race they chose into a cat where they can't heal. So this will cripple your druid healers, but usually you have enough healers to make up for this. You only want 1 to 2 druid healers anyways, so this is fine.
Okay.
This is really easy to deal with.
Excuse me.
Hunters.
Drink too much sand, apparently.
Hunters.
Clear out my debuffs.
Just get their weapons broken. So if you get a hunter call, your bow just breaks in your hand, and you can't use it anymore.
String pops off. You're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. So I experienced this last night. I brought 3 weapons with me just in case. And I basically.
Oh, it doesn't even get fixed afterwards.
Oh, no, no, no. You have to, like, go back to town to repair it, or someone has to pay for a repair bot. And, like, an engineer can basically build something to let you repair it in guild, no matter where you are, but it costs a lot.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
So the way that you do this is every time there's a class call coming, you aren't allowed to take your gear off in combat, but you can take your weapon off. So you just, you know it's coming.
You can hot potato it, basically. Just, like, drop it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Put it on your back for a second. He doesn't see it. Then you take it back out. Yeah, so that happened to me a couple times last night. But by the end, had it figured out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mages will polymorph raid members into animals like giraffes, cows, worms. Like, basically, when the mage call happens, all your friends just turn into barnyard animals.
Oh, yeah, the giraffe, the classic barnyard animal.
Honey, time to go out and milk the giraffes.
Bring a bunch of. You need a cherry picker, basically.
Yeah, but it's just pandemonium. Like, when that happens, like, you're all trying to fight this giant black dragon that you've, like, everything's culminated up to this point, and it's just chaos. There's giraffes walking by, there's cows, there's like, worms on the ground, pigs. It's crazy, yeah. I like that one a lot. Priests get hit with corrupted healing, so any of the direct heals turn into damaging spells. So.
Oh, you've mentioned this before. I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you swap out their IVs, basically.
Yeah. It sucks. It really sucks. Because a lot of the time you're encouraged to heal the tank, heal the tank, heal the tank. So now every time a class call is about to happen, which you have a general timer of knowing when it's going to happen, you should stop healing for a second, which gets really scary because the tank will start going down in health, but the other healers can kind of step up.
That's all right. It gives blood pressure up. It's good for him.
Yeah.
Some good cardio to watch his health tick down a little bit there, just to make sure you don't, you know, mainline poison directly into his brain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got to drain him out every once in a while. Paladins do siphon blessing, so they just give protection blessing to Nefarian. They just give him more armor, basically.
Okay.
Make him harder to kill.
Yeah, I mean, that seems shitty, but not as bad as some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Not as bad as turning your friends into giraffes.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Rogues get teleported into the front of Nefarian, and Nefarian has a cleave ability, so even when he's hitting the tank, if you're next to the tank, you're gonna get hit by it.
Oh, he's got, like, an arc that he can hit.
Yeah, so when it's rogue class call, the tanks have to turn the boss around, which is scary because he has a tail whip that could, like, in theory, just, like, knock you right off that cliff. It's never happened to us, but I wonder what would happen if that would happen.
Like, the model will push you, or his actual attack?
No, he like, launches you.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Onyxia, like, can launch you into whelp caves, and it's a similar attack. So, like, if you stay away from her tail, because she'll knock you into her own eggs, which will make her babies hatch, which will just overwhelm the raid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's super similar mechanic. Shamans will basically put a bunch of totems down that are corrupted totems. So instead of a healing totem, it'll be a damaging totem. Instead of a wind fury totem, which makes your attacks hit twice, it'll make the Nefarian hit twice for every hit. This one really sucks.
It's just like an inverse of the buffs that would come from these totems?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And this happened to us that a guy went AFK last night during the boss, or before the boss fight, and he was a shaman. So he wasn't even doing any damage, was not contributing at all, and we just had to deal with him putting down totems every time the class call happened. So we were 31 people, but he was AFK, so it was basically like,
why the fuck did he go AFK? What was the point?
Life happens. I don't know.
Okay.
People will say wife aggro, or my kid woke up, or
wife
something.
Aggro?
Yeah. There's a lot of boomers who play the game, and
when
it gets late around 11 o'clock, they're not so reliable anymore.
Yeah,
so.
Well, they could fall asleep literally at any moment.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like to deal with baby boomers.
We put
They're narcoleptic.
We put him into a different Discord channel, and three of us popped down all at once and just screamed full volume into our mics, hoping that he fell asleep at his desk and would just startle him awake.
What, did you give him a fucking heart attack?
He's a dickhead anyways.
Okay, whatever, yeah.
He's a nice guy, but he's a dickhead. Warlocks summon a bunch of infernals, so like a bunch of basically rock elementals with green magic in between them, and they like,
oh yeah, I've seen those things.
Yeah,
there's one in the like OG WoW trailer,
right? Yeah,
yeah, okay, cool.
So those guys, just a swarm of those come out, so you have to AoE them down.
Yeah.
If the warlock class call happens, and warriors will berserk, so they go into basically they have a defensive stance and a berserker stance. They go into their attack stance and take more damage.
Oh, okay, so, I thought they'd get bloodlusted and attack their, do damage to their friends.
No,
but
no.
But I guess that would actually probably, you'd probably just, like, OCO your buddies.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be really fair.
It would be really hard because warriors are pretty much the only good tanks in
That's their point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do less damage than a rogue, but have, like, three times the health or some shit.
Oh, no, they do more. Warriors and mages are completely broken in Classic.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They were, like, the developers' favorite classes because warriors can do more damage than anything, can tank, mages as well can do like incredible damage and can solo most of the content.
Okay,
those
cool.
two classes, and then if you want to be a healer, a priest is probably the strongest, but it's not as ridiculously broken as those two, I'd say.
Okay,
yeah. Those are like the three god classes in
Classic.
Yep. About like 20% health, he'll have open these doors and about like 100 ads will come out all at once.
Jesus.
If you have this holy water that you could get out of a dungeon that does an AoE attack, you can throw it on them and it does like a ton of damage. So you're encouraged to go farm that thing beforehand. If not, you just AoE them down. And if you get past that wave from the last 20%, if you're able to heal through whenever the priest call goes out, if your other healers can keep up, that seems to be something that we had a lot of trouble with. You can down Nefarian pretty easily.
Cool.
And he drops the chest pieces. That's Blackwing Lair. It's really tough, but it was really rewarding when we did it. We beat it at like 12:30 at night, and I
ended up... It's not even that late. As far as like the reputation that World of Warcraft has.
Yeah.
12:30, like, I'll probably go to bed at 12:30 tonight.
Yeah.
Like, just normally.
Yeah. I was wide awake, though. Like, after like that rush of beating him.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Did you get a drop?
I didn't, but this last week I got a bunch of stuff.
Okay, right.
So I have like 3 out of 8 of my tier 2 set, so now my mana regens at like 15% while in combat, plus I'm specced into that with my build already. So 30% of my mana regen is still happening in combat, which means I can just heal for a lot longer.
Cool.
Yeah, and my character's starting to look pretty cool. It's got like big blue spiky shoulders, like this glowing helm. I have the Benediction, which is a huge staff that has like a glowing tip too, so when I'm riding on my horse, there's like a glowing trail behind me.
You have a bone horse?
Oh yeah, I have a bone horse that also glows.
Hell yeah.
Just put a little LEDs on it and you got me.
Yeah, well that's what Ethan's mom does, right? She puts LEDs on horses.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a tour of Blackwing Lair.
Every time, like, I know we talked about this last week with the other worlds, like every time we talk about something it makes you want to do it.
Yeah.
I really wish I had the mental fortitude for raids.
Yeah.
They sound cool, and like the one time I did that one with in Destiny, technically I remember it fondly.
Yeah.
I wish I could have won, but it's just fuck me, man.
It's
that's
tough.
A lot.
Well, yeah. I didn't get anything out of the raids. I was raiding with two characters for the first 2 weeks,
yeah.
And I spent like basically all of my savings in the game just to keep up with consumables because to stay competitive in that stuff in a 30-man, 40-man content, you need to be prepared. And I was getting nothing, and I was starting to get drained because I was like, look, I'm putting all this work in, and sure, we're clearing it, but, like, my character is still the same. I haven't gotten an upgrade in forever, and that's the nature of, like, of a classic WoW. Like, you only so many people can get that upgrade that week or whatever. But
yeah, you have to, especially you as a healer, you really have to take a back seat and just, like,
yeah,
be helpful. You're not a selfish man, Jamie.
No, that's it. The first one that dropped, I gave it to my buddy.
Ah.
But the thing is, I did that type of stuff. And the night that I won the shoulders, somebody else won the robes, and they're like, you know what, UNICEF deserves this, and they gave it to me instead of taking it for themselves.
That's very nice.
Yeah. So I'm having a ton of fun with it. If you guys want to play with me, join Incendius is my server. It is fucking full right now, but I hope you can get in. There was a bunch of people left their server and came to ours. Ours was such a perfect place beforehand.
It better not be because of the lower boys bump, which we know is a real thing, where you can get 1 to 2 extra follows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyways, let me know, guys, if you don't want to hear about this stuff anymore. I know I talk about a lot about it, and if that's something that is real feedback, then I'll consider doing less of it. It's something that I really enjoy, so I like talking about it.
You've been diversifying your catalog of games a lot recently, so you'll definitely have something else to talk about eventually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I try and mix it up. This is something that I did want to do eventually, and I was glad to give a little tour of my experience through it. It's one of the harder gaming achievements that I've done in my gaming career, so yeah. I was happy to share it.
I think there are, I think the raids are really cool. I like the stories behind them.
Yeah.
Now, why don't we get elbow deep here into the old lore bag, because we got a couple of emails to read out first.
Oh, yeah?
Before we sign off for the week.
So who do we got first?
We got Steven.
Steven's like a super fan at this point.
New Jersey Steven. I can't remember who the other Steven was. I think he was in Switzerland.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not important. You're both wonderful. Doesn't matter where you are, as long as you love me. Is that Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
That's Backstreet Boys, okay. For sure.
Anyway, Steven, down in Jersey.
Jersey. Steven, he's definitely a super fan at this point. He's written in more than anyone else, and that's a challenge.
Close to 10 times.
Yeah.
Easy, yeah. And it's always fun.
Yeah, I feel like one time he was drunk, because he, like, replied right afterwards, like, fuck! Yeah, and then, like, with a different...
That was my favorite one. All cap subject line, fuck. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of person the lore boys attract right there.
Yep, I love it. I love it.
So he says, sup, lore boys, it's Superman's dumb friend again. This goes way back to something.
It was
We made a joke about Superman having a dumb friend in New Jersey who couldn't tell that he was Superman.
Yeah, it was like a police officer or something.
Something like that, yeah. You know, Kent, you look an awful lot like Superman.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says,
get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, Kent. I'm just writing to let you know that since it's my birthday today, happy birthday. That
happy
was February
birthday.
21st. Nice. Sorry that we did a different episode. We did our interview, so we didn't get to this right away.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
I hope this year brings you a lot of joy.
Yeah. Since it's my birthday today, my wife got me the BioShock collection. You keep that woman.
Yeah.
That is good taste.
Peter's got a bunch of stuff around here all... celebrating the BioShock universe, tattoos on his inner thighs, as we figured out last week.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
We love that series.
So it's he says it's my birthday today. My wife got me the BioShock collection because I have never played them, but your BioShock podcast is one of my favorites, so I want to play it because I'm sure I'll love it. Anyway, keep up the great work. I love listening to you guys when I'm at work. It makes the night go by faster. Superman's dumb friend, all caps, out.
Nice.
Presumably he dabbed shortly after sending this email.
My advice to you is if you start to feel like 2 is getting too long, just skip to Infinite. Peter might not agree. That's the way I did it. I played 1, then part of 2, then I played Infinite, and then I revisited 2 afterwards and had a more respect for it. But
2, I guarantee I said this on our BioShock episode, but our BioShock episode is like episode 15 or something.
I remember what you said. It's like mechanically the best.
It is. 100%. It is the best video game,
TM.
The plot is complete nonsense.
Yeah.
The amount of fucking retcons it tries to throw in is idiotic. And then fucking Infinite just retcons it right out. It's just like, never happened.
Infinite was cool, though. That was a genuine good experience just playing through that game.
Yeah, Infinite's not much of like a immersive sim, like Prey or System Shock or the original BioShock.
Yeah.
But it is a fucking brilliant shooter.
Oh, man, it's so fun, like flying around on those zip lines and like jumping off and killing people midair.
It is the only
like
game I can think of where you can shoot flesh-eating crows at racists.
I can't think of another one.
Really specific, but it's neat. Come on.
Yeah, so happy birthday.
You steal the crows from the racists first, and then you turn the crows against them.
Yep. So celebrate your birthday with a murder of crows sent at a pile of racists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two things to celebrate with. Crows and acceptance.
Yeah.
My two favorite things. And now we have another email here, just subject line, hey guys, from Dalton. I can't remember if he told us where he was from, but hello, Dalton. He says, loved the interview episode, was cool to know how you all got into podcasting. I've been wondering if you have played any Dragon Quest or Spyro games. Appreciate the dope content, guys. Keep it up.
Yeah. So for Spyro, I've definitely played. My mom was a huge fan of the Spyro games, so she... played them to 100% or 120 whatever. Spyro does that silly over the top percentage thing. And then I recently picked up the collection
because, Reignited.
Yeah, Reignited to play through. I love those games. They make me feel like a child, safe in like my parents' home, and like yeah, like a warm glass of whiskey in that, and I feel like there's no worry in the world. but yeah, I love the Spyro games. What was the other one too? The
Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest. I played on Game Boy. I played two of them. I forget which ones, but I had fun. I like those.
My answer is easy. I've never played a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah.
I am not a big JRPG fan. Never have been. I like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Which I have also never finished. Yeah. I own. Historically have owned like 7 copies of Chrono Trigger, and I've never finished it. I played it on an emulator.
Yeah, yeah.
I played it on DS, yeah, which is the one I got the furthest in. Right. I played it on PS3, yeah, and I played it on PS1. So like, and I have never finished the game.
It's a long game.
It's excellent. Yeah. And then I played Final Fantasy VII for 15 minutes maybe.
Demo came out today.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not a big JRPG fan. My buddy Alexi always calls getting lost in a game Dragon Quest syndrome, where you just have no fucking idea what to do.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, I played Ni No Kuni, though. Ni No Kuni's excellent. I never finished it, but I love it.
Is that a Dragon Quest game?
No, it's a JRPG, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've never played Dragon Quest. I have played all 3 of the original Spyros.
Nice.
I've only finished the first.
Right.
Because they were my friends on PS1.
Yeah.
And I borrowed the stack, beat the first one, then played 2 and played 3 just to see what they were like, but I never finished either one. I haven't played any of the spinoffs.
No.
Excuse me.
We Jesus. Do have a Spyro episode on some of the spinoffs.
Yes, we do.
I forget the name of the series now, even though that was my episode, but it was like a trilogy.
Enter the Dragon or...
No, that's the...
Enter the Dragonfly.
I think that's the original trilogy. It's a trilogy that was basically on like Xbox 360, like that generation.
Elijah Wood played...
Yeah.
Played Spyro, and he had that weird kind of saggy-faced redesign.
I don't
like the way he looks.
Anyways, we told the story. I did like the story. I had fun with that one. So yeah. If you are interested in Spyro, since you asked us, feel free to check out that episode. If I have any more history on my experience with Spyro, it would have came out there because I would have been most immersed in it then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie likes to get out the candles and the bath water and then just settle in, really immerse himself in a project.
Yes, exactly.
Jamie, if I wanted to have a bath with you...
You can do it on the
Spyro.
You can do it on the Lore Boys Discord. Just join the bath channel and make sure to bring that laptop in the bath with you. And
take the tape off. Take the sticker off the camera.
Yeah, please.
Just for us.
So check us out at the Lore Boys Discord. That is in our about stuff at loreboys.com.
Yep.
You can check that out. Also, follow us on the Facebook. I see some people slowly joining up.
It's getting quite active there. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for all the messages you guys send. We don't read the Facebook messages on air, mostly because they play out as more of a conversation opposed to something digestible.
Yeah.
So feel free to email us at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com if you actually want us to read out something you would have Facebooked.
Yeah, please do. And I love seeing those. Like, it was really cool to get 2 this week.
Yeah.
And we like to hear like lore suggestions. We got our Patreon too, so like if you donate enough, you can like you can make us do the lore of Kingdom Hearts if you really wanted to.
I will fucking kill myself.
You can make us do whatever. So if you want to put us through that, that's something you can do.
You're welcome to. I think we could do a collaborative episode between the 3 of us. If we all worked together, it could prevent any one of us from going completely mad.
You had an idea like a while back of like figuring out the lore live on mics, like just going through it.
Yeah. So this was like a season 1 before I started writing the Christmas specials. I always wanted to do something weird with the show.
Yeah.
And one of them was like have someone else write a Kingdom Hearts script for me,
okay,
and then all 3 of us could go in blind. And that's actually right. I forgot about that. That's not the worst idea.
No.
Yeah.
So bad.
we're good enough at it now.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to add there?
No, that's all for me.
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. Feel free to at me or don't. And then at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. There's a lot of pet videos these days. That's where we post the title cards and our stories. And you can, you know, send us. We got an Italian message today.
Really?
Some lady, because I took a video of my axolotl.
Yeah.
And I got a message in Italian with a question mark, and I was just like,
"She's asking us if the Vans are still for sale."
Yeah, fuck yeah, god damn it.
Converse 25% off. Her Instagram got hacked a long time ago. And we were getting a bunch of Italian messages of people wanting to buy our shoes.
It was price off of Chucks. It was like 25% off in euros.
And there's a guy who still, every time we stream, he still manages to show up and ask about shoes.
Fucking Christ. Yeah. It's got to be a meme at this point.
I think I can stream a raid now, actually, now that I have an computer.
Hey, you have a proper computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
I should do that. Yeah. All right, I'll look at
Twitch.tv/theloreboys if you want to see Jamie's face and hear his voice without me cutting him off. theloreboys.com. And Jamie, do you have anything for Loreboys Prime?
For Loreboys Prime this week, I have gone to all of your sisters' house and made capes out of them.
Nice!
So if you'd like me to show up at your throne with a cape of your sister, just give me money, I guess.
It's going to be $34.99.
Yep.
You can send that directly to our PayPal. This, of course, is for people who don't trust Patreon.
Yes.
Don't trust banks. Yes. We're technically kind of our own bank now, if you think about it.
Yep.
$34.99. I was going to say, we'll kill your sister. We've already done it.
Yeah. And it's, to be clear, it's only to help you with your acid reflux or whatever. I need her skin to be able to survive it. So. Yeah.
And if you don't have a sister, you can suggest a friend's sister if you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great cloaks. They're great cloaks. Fire resistance. They look good. And what is there to lose, really?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that constitutes a Loreboys
out.
Out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.